You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing our series that we've been in for the past few weeks called DNA. We're talking about who we are in Christ. You know, your DNA is what makes you unique, right? Nobody else has your exact DNA. It's like the genetic code that makes you who you are. And I really believe if you're a follower of Christ, you have a unique spiritual DNA. God has placed a spiritual DNA on the inside of you. And I think we could even say that every church body has a unique DNA. You know, all churches may have the same mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I think we're all called to do that in a unique way. Every local church is an expression of the body of Christ, and so I think our church has a unique DNA, and we want to talk about how to live that out. How do we embrace that? How do we live that out? And if we have that calling on us as a church family, how do we live that out together as a church family? And so a few weeks ago, we talked about grace. We talked about how at the very core of our DNA is grace. This is a church of grace. We're a grace-preaching church. We talked about purpose, how God has a purpose for every one of our lives. Today, I want to talk to you about a value that I truly believe is at the heart of who we're called to be as a church. And I want to talk to you about being a life-giving church. This is a life-giving church. If there's anything that would describe this church, that's my favorite word, that Redemption is a life-giving church. I want to read to you from our core values statement. This is actually on our website. If you've never been to our Growth Track classes before, I would invite you to check that out. We'll be offering our Discover Redemption session next Sunday during this service. And we actually talk about this. We talk about our vision and our beliefs. But let me read this to you because we actually cover these core value statements. This is what it says about us being a life-giving church. We want to cultivate an atmosphere of abundant life to create a place where people encounter the good news of Jesus and are healed, inspired, encouraged, and set free. That's our desire. We want to be a life-giving church. Now, how many of you have ever been in a life-draining church? Come on, let's just be honest. Have you been there before where church felt like a chore? It felt like an obligation. It was boring. It sucked the life out of you. It felt more like something to be endured rather than be enjoyed. And I think we all come from different backgrounds and all been in different kind of churches, but we've all had that experience before, I'm sure, at some point in time. I heard a story about an old church in England that had a beautiful mural on the wall, and it was dedicated to, it had all the names of the men and women who had served in England in the various wars and died, in the different wars. And there was a little girl who was fascinated by this mural. She came to her mother and she said, "Mommy, what are all those names on the wall?" And she said, "Oh, sweetie, that's the names of all the people who died during the service." And she said, "Which service, Mommy? The 9 o'clock or the 10:30 service?" Come on, you ever been in a church service before where you felt like you were gonna die? I grew up Pentecostal, like we logged like long hours in church and we used to sing and preach about the return of Jesus. And there were many times when I'd be in service thinking, I wish Jesus would come back right about now so he could deliver me from this church service because it's going on and on and on. Have you been there before? Some of you know what I'm talking about. But it's our desire to be a life-giving church. Last week, we celebrated our four-year anniversary. How many of you were with us last week? Didn't we have a great time just celebrating the goodness of God? And we celebrated all that God has done and people finding a relationship with Christ and finding a church family. And we sang that song, "The Church is Alive," right? Like this is what it looks like when the church is alive. And let me ask you this, have you ever had a moment in life where you really felt alive? Think about those moments when you really felt like this is living. I was thinking about some of those milestone moments in my life. I thought back to my Bible college days in Texas when Amy and I first met. We were good friends for the first few years, and then we became more than friends. We started dating, and I thought about our first date. Now, I couldn't find a picture from our first date, but that's from our college years when we were dating. And I remember that first date. Amy said she wasn't quite so sure what she thought, but I'm telling you, on that first date, I was like, I am gonna marry this girl. I was sold. I was like Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Like, I'm going to marry this girl. She's like, she needed some time to think about it, but I prayed a lot and she heard from God, clearly. It's about time she got with the program, you know what I'm saying? And then fast forward not too long after that, September 28th, 2002, I better get this date right. We had our wedding and there we were. I know we looked like we were 16. I was like 22, getting ready to turn 23. We had no idea what we were doing, but we were in love. And that's a moment when you feel alive. If you're a married person, right? You stand up in front of God and all your family and friends and you make these vows and man, talk about a moment of like the blood rushing through you, right? And feeling alive. And then a few years later, first comes love, you know, then comes marriage, then comes, you know, the baby carriage. So then in July 18th of 2006, my wife had our first son, our first of three boys, Aaron. And I remember going to the hospital and we were in Louisiana at that time where I'm from. And you know, you go in and before we knew it, we were having a C-section. It all happened so fast. It all happened so quick. Before you know it, like, you know, the nurse comes out and puts this baby in my arms, this like red swollen baby. And I'm like, oh my God, my baby's ugly. What are we gonna do? I didn't know it was my first one. I didn't know they're supposed to look that way. Like the swelling goes away, right? Then like the next day, I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute. I guess we'll keep him. But it's this amazing moment. Talk about feeling alive, right? And then you're holding this child and you're thinking, oh my God, I have to provide for this child. Like, what is it going to cost to put them through college? You really start to feel alive in a moment like that. And those are some amazing moments. But then there was like this pinnacle moment a few years later, after many years of suffering and praying, Drew Brees finally led the Saints to a Super Bowl victory in 2010. I mean, come on, you know, there was my marriage and the birth of my son. That was pretty good. But man, the Saints winning the Super Bowl. It's like, I can die. My life is complete. Some of you long-suffering like Jets fans, you know what I mean? You feel me. But let me ask you this, you know, have you ever had one of those moments where you really felt alive? I think we all have, and we love those moments, don't we? We love those moments, and we wish life could be like that. We wish we could live in those moments forever. And I think it's like that for us spiritually sometimes. We experience these spiritual highs sometimes in our walk with God and our relationship with Christ, and there are these special moments in our relationship with God when we really feel alive, when we really feel the love of God, right? When we feel full of purpose, and full of joy. Maybe for you, you think back about when you first came to Christ. You know, some of you first placed your faith in Christ. Maybe you prayed a prayer. You came back to church and you just felt like, you know, you were reborn. It was special and you wish it always felt like that. Or maybe some of you, it was your baptism. If you got baptized later on in life, maybe as an adult or a young person. And you know, it was kind of like you just got this new lease on life and it was a special moment for you. Or maybe it was a moment in worship, a special time in worship where God did something special in your life and there was healing in your heart. Or maybe it was a message that just spoke to you and you left feeling encouraged. And don't we wish it could be like that all the time in our relationship with God, that we could just live like in those moments. But I'm sure there are many of you who have walked with Christ for some time now, and you've lived enough life in this relationship with God that you know it's not always like that. How many of you discovered that it's not always like that? We wish we could stay in those spiritual highs, but that's just not real life. Sometimes we have this sense that we're going through life, but there's no life going through us. Have you felt that way before? Like, I'm just going through the motions, you know? Get up every day, get dressed, go to work, you know, same old commute and, you know, get on the train or get in the car or whatever and same old job, same old coworker, same old supervisor, come home, eat dinner, watch Netflix, go to sleep, do it all over again, right? Like sometimes it just feels like we're just kind of going through the motions. We kind of feel lifeless. We've all been in seasons like that. Some of you are in a season like that right now. But I have good news for you. Jesus said that he came so that we could experience new life, new life. In fact, here's what he told his followers in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say life and life more abundantly, a rich and satisfying life, abundant life. Now, what do you think of when you hear those words? When you hear of abundant life or life to the full? I don't know about you, but I tend to think of the word more, like a rich and satisfying life. It sounds to me like more money in the bank, more money in savings, more meaningful relationships, less life-draining relationships, more beach vacations. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, more, right? That's what we tend to think of. I think, you know, we live in an American culture that celebrates more. And marketing always, the marketing world markets to us that way, right? Like you need more. You don't have enough of what you got. You need more. And you need to buy this because we're going to give you a 30% value. You're going to get 30% more. That's kind of what we're used to. Speaking of more, how many of you have ever been to Stu Leonard's in Yonkers before? Now that is an experience in more. right? You pull up in the parking lot. Before you even get inside of the place, they're cooking hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, like right there. Like Stu Leonard's is like Disney World for hungry people. I was gonna say fat people, but that's not nice, okay? It's for people like me who like to eat. It's an experience. It's not just shopping. You walk in and they're giving out free samples. And there's animatronic chickens and cows singing to you. Like, talk about put you in a good mood, right? And the food is like over the top. The recipes and the desserts. And then there's like the meat department. Like at the regular supermarket, you might be excited if you find a pack of steaks on sale, right? And Stu Leonard's are like, come on in. We'll cut up the whole cow for you. Like right now and just package it up and put it in your bag. It's amazing. Don't go to Stu Leonard's when you're hungry. I'm telling you, you will blow all of your money. But if you've never been before, eat really well before you go and then go experience it. It's amazing. But it is an experience and more. Here's the thing. You know, we connect fullness, the fullness of life and this whole idea of abundant life with this idea of more in our lives. But that's not exactly what Jesus had in mind in this verse. In fact, the original language of the New Testament, which was written in Greek, has two words for life. The first word is the word bios. Everybody say bios. Come on, you sound so smart now, Greek scholars. Bios. And bios is the root word for biology, right? This is natural life. It can also mean chronological life, the kind of ordinary life that we're used to. The average bios life includes 250,000 hours of sleep. How many of you could use a few more of those hours? 76,000 meals and 200,000 trips to the bathroom. And if you've ever been a pregnant woman before, you logged a lot of those trips during that season of life, right? That's part of life. This is ordinary, natural life. Bios life is routine life. It's going through life. But then there's another word in the New Testament, in the Greek, for life, and it's the word Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. Zoe. Bios is about quantity, right? Like more of the same. But Zoe is about a quality of life that comes from knowing God. This is what we would call eternal life. This is life sustained by and connected to God. This is when life is going through you. I think about being plugged into the power source when I think about this. Right now, I have a circuit that keeps tripping at my house right now. It's most likely shorted out. And when you plug in a lamp in that room, it won't come on right now until I get it fixed, right? But if you take that same lamp and you plug it into a circuit somewhere else in the house that's working just fine, it's going to come on because it's connected to the power source. This is this idea that we've got to get connected to the power source of Jesus Christ, who gives us a life and life more abundantly. So when Jesus says, I've come to give you that they may have life and have it to the full, guess which word he uses? He uses the word Zoe. It's about a quality of life. Different kind of life, a different kind of experience. It's not just more of the same. We get tempted into always thinking that we just need more of what we had. If I just had more money, if I just had more of this, if I just had more of that, we would be happy. No, you need a different quality of life, a quality of life that we can only find in Jesus Christ. And so here's the question, how do we live like that, right? How do we know we can't always live spiritually at the mountaintop. We're going to go through valleys. That's part of life. But how do we stay connected to the power source? How do we stay plugged into the life of Christ? And I want to talk to you about three experiences. I really believe these are three experiences that God the Father is inviting us into. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a child of God, he's inviting you into three experiences that can help us experience and embrace this Zoe kind of life. I want to invite you to take some notes today. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. You can take those out, or maybe you want to open up the Redemption app. There's a spot on the app where you can take notes. If you don't have the app, you can get it at our website. But three experiences that can help us embrace this Zoe kind of life, this abundant life. Here's the first one. The first one is celebrate. Everybody say celebrate. Celebrate. When we celebrate, we party in our Father's house. Let's talk about what that means, because that's the first experience. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three famous parables, three stories back to back, and they're all the story of something that was lost that's found, and then it leads to rejoicing. The first story is the story of the lost sheep. It's a story about a shepherd who leaves the 99 other sheep. Remember that story? Goes and finds the one lost sheep, and when he finds him, there's rejoicing. Then Jesus tells another story in Luke chapter 15. It's the story of a woman who has 10 silver coins, the parable of the lost coin. And she loses one coin. That coin was equal to like a day's worth of wages, very valuable coin. She tears the house up, looks for it all over the place, finally finds that coin. When she finds it, she calls her friends together and they rejoice. Then there's a third story. It's the story of the lost son. Many of you know this parable as the parable of the prodigal son, probably the most famous parable that Jesus taught. Just a quick recap for you. Here's the story. There's a man who has two sons, older son, younger son. His younger son comes to him and asks for his inheritance. Now, this was absurd. It was unheard of. Nobody ever did this in Jesus' time, because this was basically like going to your father and saying, I wish you were dead now so I can just cash out. Give me my inheritance now. Now, just to make a point, it's an absurd point. The father actually gives him his inheritance. He goes off, and Jesus tells the story. He goes off and he blows his money in riotous, wild living. We're talking about prostitutes, wild parties. He blows all of this money. He ends up broke. When the money runs out, he runs out of friends, and he ends up getting a job feeding the pigs, like slopping the hogs. Now, remember, Jesus is telling this story in a Jewish context, right? Okay, good little Jewish boys did not touch unclean animals like pigs. That wasn't clean. That wasn't kosher. So this was like very offensive. This was like the worst possible job that anybody in Jesus's time could conceive of having. So here he is slopping the hogs, starving to death, and he comes to his senses. He realizes that even the servants back home in his father's house have something to eat. They have it better than him. They have a place to lay their head. And so he's like, I'm going to go back home. I'm not even worthy to be called a son. I'm going to go back home and just beg my father to let me be one of his servants. If you remember the story, he makes his way home, and before he can even get to his father's out looking for him on the horizon, sees him, runs out to meet him. He starts to give his little pitiful speech about how sorry he is and if his father would just accept him as a servant. His father doesn't hear any of it. He calls the other servants and he says, come, put a robe on my son. He puts a ring on his finger. He puts sandals on his feet. And here's what it says in Luke 15, verses 23 through 24. The father says this, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. Have this amazing celebration. This beautiful story of redemption and grace and forgiveness. Now, what's one thing that all three stories have in common besides somebody being lost and found, something being lost and found? They all end with a what? With a celebration, right? With a celebration. Can I tell you, when we think about church, when we think about gathering together on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of different ways we can think about it. You know, Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. We can think about it as a house of prayer. We can think about it as the body of Christ. There's another analogy where Paul says we're like a living temple. There's a lot of things we can think of, but this morning I want to give you one image. And here's the image. Church is showing up at the Father's house for a party. Come on, when you gather together on a Sunday morning, it's knowing that you're welcomed into the family of God. It's knowing that you're a son, you're a daughter. It's knowing that you were once lost, but by the grace of God, you're found. It's knowing that we rejoice in this story that God is a loving father who ran out to meet you. He didn't hold your sins against you. He didn't hold your past against you. He didn't throw your mistakes in your face, but he received you by his grace as a son and a daughter. And we can rejoice about that. We can rejoice about that. That's what a Sunday morning is. That's what gathering together in church is all about. When I think about that, I think about, you know, going home. At least once a year, we go home for Thanksgiving. Most of my family's down in the New Orleans area where I grew up. And I think about going home and just sitting at my parents' table. You know, it's like a weight is lifted off of me. I don't have to be a dad there. I can be a son. I can just let my mom feed me and take care of me. I can be received as a son in my father's house, and is rejoicing. And so we ought to sing when we gather together. We ought to raise our voices. We ought to look forward to coming to church. We ought to come in with smiles and hugs and handshakes. And we ought to look forward to this. We ought to celebrate when we come together. We did that last week, right, at our four-year anniversary celebration. We're going to do that again in a few weeks for Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. See, if you want to experience this Zoe kind of life that we're talking about, this abundant kind of life, you got to gather with others who have found their way home, and you got to celebrate what God has done in your life. I want to tell you, there's something that can happen in your life in the midst of this celebration. There's something that can happen when we're gathered together in corporate worship that can't happen anywhere else. I'm thankful for times of worship during the week when I'm by myself. I'm thankful for my personal devotions. I'm thankful for the podcast, and I'm thankful on the app. You can watch messages and you can read devotionals. All of those things are wonderful, but you got to be present for the family celebration. There's something beautiful about gathering together and being with your family. So you got to prioritize this. I'm telling you, there are moments in worship. One moment in worship can change your life. one moment in worship. There have been times in worship when I came in here on a Sunday morning, and man, I had a week of studying. I had a week of praying. I had a week of being in God's word. But I'm telling you, one moment in God's presence brought healing to my heart. One moment in God's presence worshiping with my brothers and sisters, it lifted my spirits. It lifted my hope. Like I felt something in here worshiping with my family. There are times you come into church and you're feeling weary, and you're feeling like you're carrying so many burdens, and somewhere in the midst of worshiping and celebrating with your church family, you don't even realize it, but those burdens begin to be lifted off of you, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you leave here feeling like a weight has been lifted off of you. Has that happened to you before? Sometimes you come in with a sense of just brokenness, of hurting, right? Like you just feel like there's a crack in your heart, and you come into God's presence and you hear a word. Like sometimes there's a word from the scripture. It's like, Pastor, did you like read my mail? Like you preached that message just for me, right? Like, did you have somebody spying on me? And it was a word from God that brought you hope, that brought you encouragement, that healed your heart. Come on, that's what happens when we gather together in God's house, in the Father's house, to just be sons and daughters and celebrate the goodness of God. It connects you to the very life of God. And so I want to encourage you, you got to be here. You got to be here. Let this be the day that's the foundation for the other days of the week. Because those other days of the week can be challenging. They can be hard. And we need this. We need this. Here's the second thing, okay? We're talking about being intentional, about embracing this abundant life, the Zoe life of God. Here's the second word. We got to connect. The first word is celebrate. The second word, the second experience is we got to connect. When we connect, we discover that we're better together. That's one of our sayings around here, right? We're better together. That's what connecting is all about. Dr. Edward Hallowell and a team of researchers from Harvard Medical School did some research, and they discovered that the two most powerful and meaningful experiences in life are achieving and connecting. Achieving and connecting. Let's define achieving this way. Achieving is reaching a goal and accomplishing something worthwhile. We know what achieving is, right? That's achieving. Connecting is relating to someone in a significant way. That's what connecting is all about. And so Dr. Hallowell and this team of researchers from Harvard, they did research, and they found that there's a new trend in emerging, in our emerging Western culture. There's been a shift away from a priority and a value on connecting to achieving. And it's changing things, because in generations past, people valued connecting over achieving, but that's changing. And here's what they found out, that people who excel at achieving but fail at connecting end up unhappy. In fact, by contrast, people who prioritize connecting in meaningful relationships, even if they're not great at achieving and accomplishing goals by our current standards, they still report life as being fulfilling. Isn't that amazing? And you know, that shouldn't be surprising to us as the people of God, because we know as the church of Jesus Christ, we're wired for connection. God put this need on the inside of us for connection. If we were meant to do the spiritual walk alone, God would have never come up with this whole idea of a church family. But God knew that we needed each other and we're better together. And so the people of God have known this for generations. We've known that they were called to be a people, a family. Like, we got to be connected to each other. This is how you get connected to the life of God, when you're connected in a church family, when you're connected with others. See, you have an experience with Jesus that's unique to you, that's different than my experience. And when I come to know your experience, I see a glimpse of Jesus that I've never seen before. And so it's like the more we get connected with other believers, the more complete picture we get of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's what happens. We see Jesus in other believers and we get a more complete picture of who Christ is. Here's the other thing we believe. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do you know that you have the Holy Spirit residing inside of you? When you're in Christ and when you've been baptized into Christ, do you know that you got the full Trinity? You got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And so here's the truth. When we gather together and we get connected, like you have some of the Holy Spirit, I got some of the Holy Spirit. When we come together, we got more of the Holy Spirit, okay? You can't quite find that in scripture, but you can kind of figure that out, right? There's something about us coming together. We're connected to life when we're connected with each other. Let me just tell you a little story about connecting. A few weeks ago, we were having a pastoral team meeting. Our pastoral team got together. We do that. We pray for you, and we come together and we strategize and we talk about things that are happening in our church. And we do the work of the church together as pastors. And we were having a Friday night meeting, and I'm gonna be honest with you, most of us were just tired. Amy and I had a long week, and we were kind of feeling beat up and tired at that meeting. Pastor Danya came in. She was kind of feeling tired that day. Pastor Erica, our kids pastor, she's pregnant. she gets a free pass. And she was tired that day. But can I tell you, Pastor Jim showed up at the pastor's meeting and he was turned up. I mean, all the way up, like 100. Like he was on fire and he was testifying to the goodness of God and all that God's doing in our church. And he started speaking life into us. He was like T.D. Jakes on crack. He was preaching. He was praying for Danya. He was celebrating God's goodness. And can I tell you, he lifted our spirits. Like we left the meeting like, what got into Pastor Jim? Holy Lord, we needed some of that, right? Come on. Have you ever seen Pastor Jim when he wasn't in a good mood? Pastor Jim's like a puppy dog waiting to meet you when you walk in on a Sunday morning. Just can't wait to hug you. And that's his gift, right? Now, here's the truth. Pastor Jim and Sue are actually going through a difficult week this week. She lost her dad this week. And so when you see Pastor Jim, give him a hug because he needs you to celebrate him this week. He needs you to encourage him. But that's what we do for each other, right? That's what we do for each other. We share the life of God with each other when we're connected. And it's a wonderful thing to gather together in a large group like this on a Sunday morning. This is great for celebrating, but a large group isn't always the best for connecting. And that's why we always encourage people, like, get connected in the church, you know, make some friends, get into a life group, you know, serve on a team, because sometimes you got to get into a smaller context so that you can better get connected. We want you to be intentional about that. You know, one of the joys I've had over the past few years is leading a life group. Ever since we started life groups in our first year of our church, Amy and I have opened our home and we've had groups of people gather together. And it's been a beautiful thing to watch over the years how people become a church family. What happens is usually early on, the first couple of weeks we meet, you know, people gather together and some of them don't know each other. Maybe they kind of recognize each other's face from church and maybe a few of them know each other. But we watch this group of people who were kind of like strangers. And over the course of weeks, they don't even realize it, but God begins knitting their hearts together and they become a church family and they get connected. And it's beautiful to come to church on Sunday and see people hugging each other and being involved in each other's lives. We've had a wonderful life group in our home in Hawthorne this past cycle, and it's been so cool to watch people get connected and to better know each other. And we've been able to encourage each other. We've been able to pray for each other. We've been able to celebrate each other. We've had some wonderful meals. We probably gained a little bit of weight, that's true, but you know, we've had some really good meals together. And you know, we've seen God answer prayer. In this past year, we've seen people get a job who needed a job, and people who are praying for a new job get a new job. And it's been beautiful to see how, like, we leave encouraged. We leave encouraged on a Thursday night because we're sharing the life of God with each other. That's Zoe life. That happens when you get connected. That happens when you serve on a team here. And sometimes we're tempted when we're going through a difficult season to pull away from each other, to feel like, you know, to isolate. I know some people, that's their natural tendency. Can I just encourage you? That's the time to run to your church family. That's when you need two or three other believers in your life. Don't pull away. Don't isolate. If you're new to this church, don't feel like you have to be here for a year before you can get connected. Don't waste any time. Just jump in. Go to Growth Track next week. Get connected, because you're going to find as you're connected to the life of the church, you're connected to that Zoe life of God. Here's the third experience. We're going to wrap it up with this. We got to celebrate. We got to get connected. Here's the third experience I believe God is calling us into so we can be intentional about being experiencing this Zoe life. And that's number three, is contribute. Everybody say contribute. Contribute. We find our part in God's dream. That's what happens when we contribute. See, God has a dream for this world. Did you know that? God has a dream for your life. He has a dream for broken humanity. And his dream is that everybody would experience this Zoe life, that everybody would experience a new life in Christ, wholeness, healing, life, and life more abundantly. That's what God wants for all of his children. That's why he sent his one and only son, that every one of us could experience eternal life. And God wants us to be a part of contributing to that dream. You know, as I think about the story of the prodigal son, the lost son that we talked about earlier, you know, Jesus ends the parable with the celebration, you know, the lost son coming home and there's this celebration. But you know, we don't know the rest of the story, right? And that's the fun thing about a parable. You can kind of use your sanctified Holy Spirit imagination to wonder, like, what the story would have gone on to be like. Like, I wonder what the prodigal son's life was like after being received home as a son, after he sinned so gravely against his father, and yet his father loved him. Can you imagine how his life was different? Can you imagine, how many of you just pictured that he might have just had a little more gratitude when he woke up in his father's house the next day and the preceding days after that? Do you think as he worked in the family business and he served alongside of his father, he had just a little bit of gratitude, like his heart was just in it a little bit more than it was before? Absolutely, right? Because he had been loved so dearly. He had been loved so well. I'm sure there was this sense that he woke up every day like, I get to give back. Like, I get to work alongside my father. Like, before I took it for granted, but I get to be a son in my father's house. And here's the thing, church, you and me, we were just like the lost son. We were lost sons and daughters, but God ran out to meet you by his grace. And so now we have this sense of, God, I want to contribute to your dream. God, I get to give back. God, I get to be a part of what you're doing. I get to love. I get to pray. I get to serve. You and me are like good old Chick-fil-A employees. It's my pleasure. Come on, you ever go to Chick-fil-A? When you say thank you, what do they say? It's my pleasure. Other fast food restaurants, they hate you when you walk in. They don't want to make you a Big Mac or your Whopper. They're mad that you came in. Not Chick-fil-A. You go in Chick-fil-A and somebody gives you something, you say thank you. It's my pleasure. God bless you. You feel good about yourself, right? Come on, God, it's my pleasure to give my life back to you. God, it's my pleasure to contribute. God, it's my pleasure to serve. God, it's my pleasure to pray for somebody. God, it's my pleasure to contribute in the offering every week. God, it's my pleasure to encourage somebody. It's my pleasure to speak words of life. God, to participate in your dream because you included me in your dream. You received me by your grace and you filled me with your life. God, you found me when I was far from you. God, when I was broken, when I was just going through the motions, in Jesus, you gave me life and life more abundantly. And now, God, I want to be a part. I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. God, sign me up. It's my pleasure to give back. I want to contribute. Can I just tell you something? A little secret here. When you live your life that way, when you serve, when you give of yourself to the kingdom of God, you stir up the Zoe life on the inside of you. Because, you know, in so many other ways, we think about how we give of ourselves to our career and our work and taking care of our homes. And if you're a parent, you pour your life into your kids so much so that you feel like you're gonna die some days. Let's just be honest. Come on, parents. Either you're gonna kill them or you're gonna die. Either way, they're running you into the ground. And you're tired because you're giving up yourself. But here's the beautiful thing. Something supernatural happens when you participate in the kingdom of God and the plan of God. You pour yourself out, but then you're positioned to be filled back up to overflowing with the very life of God, with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you'll see God do it in your life. As you give of yourself, you'll be continually emptied so that God can continually fill you to overflowing. Come on, how many of you want that? How many of you want that kind of life? I want to live that kind of life. Stand with me this morning. We're going to pray into this in just a moment. We're going to receive communion together. We want to embrace this today. We're going to take a moment to just pray into this and go after this today. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together, but I want you just to bow your heads with me in prayer. I want you to make this personal. This is a time for us to just open our hearts. And here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to pray for those of you who are in this place who would say, I want that kind of life. I want to know God that way. I want to know Christ that way. Pastor, I feel so far away from God. Like, I don't even know how to start. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe this whole experience is new for you, a Bible teaching church, and this kind of experience is new for you. And you might be here today. Maybe a friend invited you and you're like, I feel so far from God. I don't even know how to embrace that. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer that many people in this room have prayed. And you know what it is? It's a homecoming prayer. It's a prayer of saying, God, if what Pastor Jimmy said is true, you ran out to meet me, then God, I want to run out to meet you and I'm giving you my yes today. Come on, with every head bowed for just a moment, I want you to pray this with me. And we can all pray this prayer because none of us ever graduates from needing this prayer, but just pray this with me. Jesus, I give you my yes. Thank you for your love for me. God, I thank you that you're the Father who ran out to meet me. Jesus, I choose to believe in you today, that you're the Son of God, that you lived for me, that you died for me, that you were resurrected for me so that I could experience new life. And I give you my yes today. I receive you into my life. I turn from my sins and I receive you as my Savior today. Now, Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer today. God, we thank you that you're the Father who runs out to meet us by your grace. And I know that every person who prayed that prayer sincerely today, you heard them today. God, may there just be a sense that your love is overcoming them today. May you just pour out your joy into their souls. May there be a sense in their hearts today that they've been received as sons and daughters. And you're overwhelming us by your grace and love today. And now I want to pray for every person in this place who Maybe you've been going through life, but you know you need the life of Christ going through you in a fresh way. Maybe you've been tired. Maybe you've been weary, but you say, Pastor, I want more of that. I want more of that sense of abundant life. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your situation is, but come on, let's go after it this morning. Would you just pray and make it personal? Father, we thank you so much that you came, that you sent your son to give us life and life more abundantly. Zoe life, a rich and satisfying life. And Lord, today we want that. We ask that Holy Spirit, you would be stirred up today. Lord, may you be stirred up. The very Spirit of Christ, the very resurrection life of God would be stirred up in the heart of every believer in this place today. Lord, I declare abundant life over your people today. God, I declare healing. I declare forgiveness. I declare grace. I declare wholeness. We declare the very life of Jesus Christ over this church today. We receive it into our lives in Jesus' name. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Come on, let's believe for it today. Let's believe for it today. Sometimes you gotta believe for it. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.